What a blessing. Again, it's an honor to be standing here. Preacher, thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be able to preach behind my son. Big shoes to fill, aren't they? Knock, knock. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Book of Daniel chapter 1. You can put your finger on 2 Chronicles 36 too if you want to. We'll be going to there here real shortly. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. When you get your place, say amen. Three people had their place, amen. Oh, amen. All right, Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael, Meshach, and unto Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8. This is kind of the key verse here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I sure do love you. Lord, right now we pray that as we read from your word, Lord God, that you will just bless us, Lord. Give us something from your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help me, Lord. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord God, just to give your people something from your word. I sure would give you all the praise and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you turn over there, 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 4. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 4. It says, and the king of Egypt made Eliakim his brother, king of Judah, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. That's who we're talking about in Daniel. And Necho took Jehoahaz his brother and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple of Babylon. It says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Back in Daniel, in verse 1 and 2, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And here, first part of verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Well, why do you reckon he gave him into his hand? Well, he was doing evil in the sight of God. You know, Jehoiakim was the second son of the last good king of Judah, so to speak, Josiah. Over there in 2 Kings 23, 24, it talks about Josiah put away all the workers with familiar spirits and all the wizards, all the images, idols, all the abominations that were in the land of Judah. He put them away so he could perform the words that they found in the house of the Lord. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But yet his sons and his grandsons, they made a choice not to follow God. And they did evil in the sight of God. In verse 5 of 2 Chronicles, it says, Jehoiakim did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. If you look in verse 9, Jehoiachin, which was Jehoiakim's son, he said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 11, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years. Verse 12, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So not only did Josiah's son, the one we're talking about, Jehoiakim, not only did he do evil in the sight of the Lord, both his sons did too. Could it be that if Jehoiakim would have followed God like his father did, that maybe Jehoiakim and Zedekiah might have followed God also? Could have. Maybe Jehoiakim thought that because my dad was king and my dad was a godly man, that he didn't need God himself. Maybe he thought that was good enough. Hey, my dad's a king. He's doing what God wants him to do. Maybe that's good enough. Well, look what happened to him and his sons. You know, maybe you're here tonight and think just because you go to Happy Baptist Church, maybe just because your grandpa, your grandma, maybe they're godly, just because you got a pastor. Maybe it's your papa. Maybe your mom and dad that's godly. Brother, sister, aunt, uncle, doesn't matter who it is. Somebody in your life that's godly and you're following them. That's going to do you no good. You're not going to get to heaven on the coattails of somebody else. It's going to have to be a personal decision in your heart. You're going to have to trust and believe in your own heart that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's a simple gospel. I look at everybody here. Everybody's heard it 1,000 times. Has everybody trusted and believed? You can. He wants you to. I tell you what, riding on the coattails of somebody else just because they're related, just because you're in good relationship with somebody else, all that's going to get you is a one-way ticket to hell. I hate to see that. Going to be a personal decision. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. So don't be like Jehoiakim and let God give you over to the enemy. You get to a point, he'll be through with you. That's a dangerous place to be. Back in the book of Daniel, verse 2 and 3, it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. Talking about that land of Shinar, that's where the city of Babylon is. It's in the land of Shinar. It's also where the Tower of Babel was built. And that was the first time, back in Genesis 14, that war was ever mentioned. It talks about the king of Shinar. I'll give you a little history there. That's interesting. It was interesting to me anyway. First time war was mentioned. First time, look at all the evil that's come from the land of Shinar. And there's more. That's just what I jotted down. But in verse 3 it says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and for the princes. You can see a fulfillment of this verse in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 17 through 18. God answered Hezekiah's prayer to heal him and gave him 15 more years to live. And Hezekiah showed some ambassadors of Babylon all his riches, all the gold, all the silver, all the jewels he had. And the Lord came and told Hezekiah, hey, that was dumb. I had wrote down stupid. I was trying to be nice. He said, that was dumb. I said, now the king of Babylon is going to come back and take it all, including your sons. And it's going to make you, and he's going to make eunuchs out of them. Well, here we are. Verse 3. Verse 4, it says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted the best of the best. He wanted the best young men he could find out of the land of Israel, out of the children of Israel. And he took them captive. He didn't want anybody with any acne, any scars, no physical flaws or deformities. He wanted a good-looking, a healthy, a likable, a funny, a smart, somebody that has common sense, somebody knowledgeable about everything, somebody educated. His list for the young men was so long, but he wanted that list to be that good to stand in his place. Sounds a lot like a list some of you girls have. Just saying. You looking for a husband? What's your list look like? Kind of sound like that, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. Girl, you can shout amen. Only problem I see in that list, not one time did it mention young man should love God. He should love the Bible. He should love the things of God. He should have a desire to serve the Lord in all that he does. Tell you what, since we're talking about that list, you'd be better off finding you some buck-tooth ugly guy from the backwoods of Arkansas. Why I said Arkansas, I don't know, but it sounded good. From the backwoods of Arkansas, inbred and all, amen. But you'd be better off finding him that loves God, loves the Bible, willing to stand for what the Word of God says, and you will some good-looking hunk that wants nothing to do with God. It might be good for the moment. Sin's fun for a season. But it'll get you nowhere with God. So take your list, throw it away, and why don't you write you a new list? Write a prayer on it. Lord, send me who you want. Lord, your will, not mine. Whoever it may be, regardless of how they look, I promise you, they'll be perfect if they're God sent. Search for the mind of God. King Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted the best of the best. The best of the best, the best Jews. The reason being, he wanted to brainwash them. That's what it boils down to. He wanted to take the Jewish young men and try to erase all that they've been taught and turn them into Chaldeans. Sounds a lot like the world we live in today. They want to brainwash our young children and adults alike. We hear it all the time. They keep pushing their agendas on us every day. Every news channel you turn to, it's even getting bad with the conservative news channels. They want to make us believe what they believe. Unfortunately, it's working pretty good, if I must say so. Look at our younger generation. It's sad. It's sad. We're pretty protected for the most part, but you go to the fair, you go to the skating ring like on a Friday night or something. Wow. You can see it. It's there. It's there. It's unreal. I tell you what a slap in God's face it is that our nation has become. I see some other things in verse 4 through 7 that King Nebuchadnezzar wants to change. He wants to change Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. First thing I see that King Nebuchadnezzar wants to change, he wants to change what they learn. In verse 4 says, and whom they might teach the learning of the Chaldeans. They want to change what they learn. Back over there in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Boy, I tell you what a great verse, amen. Verse 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen here in verse 7, we're talking about he wants to change the way they learn. It says, and they shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them among the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I tell you what, they taught the scriptures from birth. They taught the scriptures from birth, and they taught them how to fear the Lord. They taught them how to obey the Lord. Let me ask you, are you teaching your children at home about the Lord? Are you teaching them the Word of God? Are you teaching them how to live for God? I tell you what, there's a world out there that wants to change you, wants to change your kids. They want to do whatever they can, and just like King Nebuchadnezzar did, they don't want you to learn about God. They want you to learn what they want you to learn. I tell you what, there's a world out there that wants to change that, just like King Nebuchadnezzar did. Just look at the public schools nowadays. They're teaching everything but God. They want to teach philosophy. The other stuff that my mind went blank on. All the ungodly stuff. They want to teach that we came from apes. There's a word for that. I can't think of it, though. Thank you. Evolution. Amen. Somebody's paying attention in school. They want to teach evolution. But that's just the truth. I mean, you can see, like I talked about, you can see the young men and women that are coming out of the public schools. You might ask me, am I against public schools? Yes. 100% I am. I'm not saying times you don't have to send them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just cut and dry on it. There's times. But parents, let me ask you, let me warn you. When I say public schools, I'm talking about from kindergarten until whenever you decide to quit college. There's a world out there that's trying to warp your mind. Yeah. They're trying to change your learning, as we're looking at right now. Change what you believe. Get your mind off God. It's good to be around God's people. You don't hear all the junk. But when you're in public, at the fair we just come from, just in public in general, public schools, when you're around all that, when you're around a group of people, at work even, they start cussing, they start telling dirty jokes and all that, what are you doing? Parents, you got to work extra hard to keep your child in line. Second thing I see, they change their language in verse 4. It says, teach the tongue of the Chaldeans. King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't want them speaking Hebrew anymore. He wanted the men of Judah to speak the Chaldean. He wanted them not only think like he did, but he wanted them to speak like he did. You know, a long, long time ago, the whole reason for even teaching a child to learn to read was so they could read the Word of God. Way back when, that was the whole reason, so they could read the Word of God. Boy, how we've lost that today. We read everything but the Word of God. We, me included, we read everything but the Word of God. I'm not saying we don't read the Word of God some, but we, for the most part, read everything but the Word of God. But now, not only do you have to worry about other stuff besides reading the Word of God, there's so many other versions. People claim, well, I read the Word of God all the time. But they're getting a perverted version of what the Word of God is. Very few people even preach, read, teach, or anything out of the King James anymore. It's hard to find. They're out there, but it's hard to find. That's sad. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What kind of language do you use? Are you speaking a language kind of like the Bible? Are you speaking God's language or are you speaking Babylon's language? Language of the Chaldeans. You speaking the same language today as you're going to the rest of the week? Third thing I see in verse 5. I've got to move on from that pretty quick. Verse 5, he changed their diet. He wanted to change their diet. Verse 5 of Daniel, it said, and the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. You know, the Jews were not to eat certain meats and drink certain wine according to the law given back in Leviticus. You know, and the king's meat, well, more than likely, I would say they sacrificed to the false god and idols that they served, which made it against the Jewish law to eat. And for 3 years, King Nebuchadnezzar, they wanted the Jewish men to eat what he ate and drink what he ate and drink what he drank. He wanted to change their appetite, and he wanted their appetite to be what he wanted them to eat. To make an application of that, I guess you could say if you take yourself or your kids off a daily diet of Bible reading, off a daily diet of the Word of God, off a daily diet of prayer, and you put yourself or your kids on a daily diet of anything but that, whatever it may be, TV, movies, there's all kinds of things you could do, and not all of them are bad in and of itself. But if your diet is more of that than it is for the things of God, something wrong with that. So let me ask you, what kind of diet are you craving? Are you craving the things of God or are you craving the things of this world? There's some tough questions. It's hard for me to answer. The fourth thing I see is it changes their names in verse 6 through 7. He wants to change their names. Let me read verse 6 through 7. It says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. If you look up the definitions, Daniel, the meaning of Daniel is God is my judge. The meaning of Hananiah, Jehovah has given. The meaning of Mishael, who is like God. The meaning of Azariah, whom Jehovah helps. You know, those names were given to them by their parents, probably to remind them that the Lord was their God. Remind them of their heritage. Remind them of where they came from. They came from the things of God. And their parents wanted them to remember that. But Nebuchadnezzar, they wanted to break all family ties and all the ties of the Lord that was their God. So he gave them new names. We see he gave Daniel Belteshazzar, and that means Beltis, protect the king. Hananiah, he gave Shadrach, and that means Aku's command. Mishael, he gave Meshach, which is who is like Aku, it's A-K-U. Azariah, he gave Abednego, servant of Nebo is what that means. I looked it up. Beltis, Aku, and Nebo, they were all different gods of the Babylonians back in those days. So he changed of all the ones. God is my judge. Jehovah has given. Who is like God? Whom Jehovah helps. Boy, that's some pretty good names right there. He changed it to all these false gods. Belteshazzar, protect the king. Aku's command. Who is like Aku? Servant of Nebo. It went from godly to worldly real quick. And in changing their names, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to change their religion, so to speak. But verse 8 is kind of where I wanted to get to. Verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 8, all this changing that King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do, Daniel didn't change. Daniel didn't change. You might ask, well, I wonder why Daniel didn't change at all. Because he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He had a purpose in his heart before all this happened. Before all this happened. What a testimony. What an example to us. What have you purposed in your heart? I tell you what, think about that for a minute. Daniel, here he was. He was taken captive. He's probably never going to have a wife or a kid. If you look at verse 3, taken by the eunuchs, more than likely that's where he was going to be a eunuch. I don't know what happened to his parents when Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city and took him captive. They might be dead. What does he have? A young man. Kind of has nothing left. He had everything going against him. Here's Nebuchadnezzar trying to change everything about him. But let me tell you, that didn't faze Daniel one bit because he had already purposed in his heart that no matter the circumstances, no matter what they did to him, no matter what the future held, no matter what anybody else said about him, he was not going to defile himself. He was not going to ruin his testimony regardless of the circumstances. He was going to make his mind up and do right and be an example to those around him. And that's exactly what he was. He was an example of those around him. What about his three buddies? His three companions is later in Daniel. It calls them his companions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I say that because it's easier to remember than the other names. But his three buddies. Because of his stand, because he had already purposed in his heart that he was going to follow God regardless of the circumstances. It gave his three buddies that later on in chapter 3, you see, that took a stand against King Nebuchadnezzar. Found themselves in a fiery furnace. That's a whole other sermon by itself. But they weren't there alone, were they? Amen. Let me ask you, what kind of stand are you taking for God? The world's watching you. God's watching. Your family's watching. Your friends are watching. Your kids are watching. What have you purposed in your heart? I know a lot of times we like to go to Colorado. It's been a while. But we like to go jeeping in the mountains. And some of them mountain trails are pretty rough. Pretty rough. You got couple hundred foot cliff on this side, and you got just enough for a Jeep, maybe Jeep and a half. You're on slate rock, and then you got, 500 foot, sometimes 1,000 foot drop on this side. That's it. It's beautiful. It's a blast. It's sketchy at times. But it got me to thinking, one little slip. I've seen cars at the bottom of it. I've seen lots and lots of videos of cars going down them. Caught off other vehicles' cameras. One little slip. You think, oh, it's no big deal. But just one little slip on that slate rock, you could plummet to your death that quick because there's no guardrails. I think y'all know where I'm going with this. There's no guardrails. I tell you what, you think you can do it all by yourself? But that one little slip, you can't see what's coming ahead. You already have to have that guardrail in place, that protection in place. You have already had the purpose in your heart. What the Bible says, you have to hide the Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, when the circumstance arises, you will not know what to do. You won't have that guardrail in place. You won't have purpose in your heart already. Hey, this is what God says. When this comes about, this is what I need to do. And that takes studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God daily. Daily. Sure, we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We get a taste of what the Word of God says, what the pastor brings, what whoever's preaching, what they bring. That's not enough. You've got to teach your kids the purpose in their heart. They got a rough road ahead of them. We've had it pretty easy. They got a rough road ahead of them. And you need to teach them to stand for God regardless of the circumstances. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, guys. It's going to be hard, ladies, to live for God in this world we live in. When all your friends, your colleagues at work, this applies for adults too, when they're saying, hey, come on, do this, it looks fun. It probably is fun. Like I said earlier, sin's fun for a season. But I tell you what, if you hadn't purposed in your heart, well, I can't do that. That goes against what God says. That goes against what the Scripture says. If I do that, that's going to ruin my testimony. I'm not saying you have to make a big deal out of it. If somebody says, hey, come do this, or somebody's cussing, somebody's telling a dirty joke, just, hey, I'm not into that. That's not me. God doesn't approve of that. Just remove yourself from the situation. It's that easy. Remove yourself from the situation. I know times you can't when you're working. I understand that. But you can be a witness with your lip and with your life. Need to know ahead of time what God says before Babylon comes your way. Purpose in your heart. Hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I sure do love You. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we go out into this busy work week, this busy school week, Lord God, that You will just be with us, Lord. Help us to purpose in our heart the things from the Bible, Lord, Your things, Lord. Give us knowledge to remember what You've said in Your Word, Lord. Lord, we sure would appreciate You give us a good week. Lord, help us be a witness with our lip, with our life. Lord, just give us someone in our path, Lord, that we might be able to witness to, Lord. We might be able to save. Tell them about the gospel, Lord, that You can save them, Lord. We can't save them. Lord, I just want to say I love You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good job. Excellent. All right, let's stand to our feet and thank God for how good God's been to us. It's been a good day in the Lord. You two fellas make your way back there at the back. People are going to want to either borrow money or shake your hand anyway. Good job. Good job. Well done. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. All right, let's remember to pray not only for the church, one for another. Hang on a minute. I'm about to lose that upper plate. I didn't stick them in, and I got a mint hung up in there. You know what I like about false teeth? It's in the name. False. But you never have a toothache in one of them. All right, Father, we want to thank You now for letting us come together like this, the good sermon that we've heard. Lord, how we thank You and ask Your blessings now upon not only these that delivered it, but us that heard it. May we be obedient with our lip, with our life, in our walk, in our talk. We'll say thank You, Lord, for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.